I'd like to call this special meeting of the Town Council of Cary Beach in order. The notice of this meeting was posted at Town Hall September 21st, 2010. The purpose of this meeting is to interview candidates that submitted a letter of application to be appointed to fill the vacant commissioner seat until the next election in November 2011. Commissioner Fuller, as everybody's aware, resigned his position September 2011. But anyway, candidates to be interviewed are Mr. Gallagher, Ms. Swearingen, Mr. Pagley, Mr. Hagler. And if it's okay with the rest of y'all, we'll kind of go in the order that's on our sheet here. Is that fine with y'all?
Sure.
Okay. Craig, would you like to step up to the...
Sure.
We have your resumes with us. So. Anything you'd like to highlight or just shoot from the hip, go ahead.
Well, I don't know if people want to ask questions or monologue up here for a little bit of time, but basically, I'm sure as everybody knows that I am interested in the town council. I ran in the last election, and a couple of things I think were highlighted by that process, as well as what I'm currently involved in. Again, I've been involved as a member of the Planning Commission now for about a year and a half or 2 years. I'm currently chairman of the Cary Beach Planning Commission. In terms of what I think is important, as I suggested, I think, in my little packet that I gave a couple weeks ago, I'm what could be described as a Ronald Reagan Republican. I worked extensively as an economic advisor to several Reagan politicians in California, and I think had a very good sense of that particular approach to city and town planning. I think a lot of people forget, but President Reagan was actually a governor for many years. He was governor of California for 8 years and very much influenced local planning within the state of California, if not national. And basically, the principle that he brought to bear, which I'm a firm believer in, is the idea that communities and cities and town councils should basically be run applying business principles to it. I think that there should be a vision. The vision should be well understood. It should be acknowledged by people within the community. And then what we do is we look to implement that vision through a variety of different things, such as ordinances, incentives, everything from planning, signed ordinances, landscaping ordinances, incentives to attract business to the area. That all has to be built around the vision that we want to have. And so I certainly believe that's an important part of what I would like to bring to the council for Cary Beach. My background, I think, is varied. I've been an entrepreneur. I've worked in been a co-owner of everything from a restaurant to a biotechnology company. I'm currently a co-owner in a medical instrument design company. So, very knowledgeable about entrepreneurial sort of things, about the role of small business and the importance of small business, not only in terms of economic development and bringing a viable community to life. And of course, we certainly have a lot of things going for Cary Beach, so it's just a matter of tweaking things here. It's not certainly like some communities that need a lot of work. I think Cary Beach is a great place. I've lived here for 18 years. I teach the sort of stuff that we talk about. I teach public sector budgeting. I know a lot about budgeting. I teach developmental economics, economic development for local communities. And I teach the courses at the Cameron School of Business and small business and entrepreneurship. And again, I think those are very important things. I have a very strong background not only here, but also in other communities, not only in North Carolina, but also in Indiana and California, in planning, economic development, zoning type of issues. And so these are the sort of things that I could, I believe, bring to the council.
Yes, Barry.
California currently is undergoing some very severe financial problems.
Yes.
What do you feel the town of Cary Beach should do to avoid those types of problems?
Well, certainly the problems in California are created because of about 20 years of mismanagement at the state level, not the local level. Local communities still have to abide by essentially the standards set by Ronald Reagan. But what's happened is that as the difficulties in California have become more severe, they've taken away the funding that the local communities have. So the property tax now goes basically to the state and not back to the communities and so forth. So the local communities, not only California, but Indiana throughout the nation, they're really struggling because the states can take some money away sometimes. Curie Beach, we have a situation where we probably can't raise revenues a whole lot. You know, there might be little areas that we can raise revenues, but we're constrained, I think, both ethically as well as, you know, legal issues in terms of property tax revenues, sales tax revenues, and so forth. There's not a lot we can do. There's certainly user fees. I'm not a big fan of a lot of user fees. I think really what we have to look at is maybe some cost issues and look a little more carefully at cost. I think one of the great things about Curie Beach is the use of citizen committees, and you know that's an excellent way not only to get the citizens involved, but also to maybe defer some of the costs that perhaps some other communities would have. So, you know, I certainly am a strong believer of citizen and volunteer type of work in many of these things. But, you know, the key, I think, to maintaining the financial viability as well as perhaps enhancing it is going to be increasing the overall economic base for the community, whether that's in the business community or in the property values by enhancing property values in Curie Beach, getting more people that want to live here, you know, to buy properties and so forth. And certainly those two concepts are very, very well tied in terms of creating an overall vision that people want to live in and work in and set up for businesses.
So how does that, I guess, what is your position, I guess, in regards to tax increases in the town of Curie Beach?
I'm certainly not a supporter of tax increases. I think, given that you really pay double taxes on property taxes, this is actually one of the few states that actually does that double taxation on property tax. Most states, when you form a town, you stop paying the county property taxes and all the property taxes come to the local community. That's not how we have it here. When you look at the overall tax rate, we're over 1%. As a total tax rate, and I think particularly in this economy that we ought to be very, very careful about raising any type of taxes. You know, I think there may be some user fees that might be looked at, but honestly, I think that we shouldn't. I think our starting point is to look at the cost structure and the management of the existing revenues that we have.
Thank you.
Chuck?
I have
four
questions, and I'm going to ask all four of them. Number one is, I think you may have answered, why are you asking for this appointment to the council?
Well, why I think is I'm a firm believer of contributing to my community that I've lived in. I've lived here for 18 years. So I want to contribute either on volunteer boards, and I always have, or, you know, speaking at council meetings. These are very important, but I also think I can bring some very important skill sets and experience sets to the council. That might be able to assist in the decision making and contribute to some of the debates that take place here in the council.
What is the greatest asset that you bring to the council?
Well, I think the greatest asset would just, again, be the experience sense. You know, I think the combination of the education I have, with a doctorate in economics and management. I have a master's degree in biology, so we do have some biological type environmental issues that we do have to look at, which I think I can understand. I have an MBA. These sort of experience sets from the education side I think is very important. Again, I have professional experience extensively in economic development, regional economic development, not only serving on commissions, but also the courses I teach and the articles I write and so forth. I run businesses. I'm very sensitive. I teach I'm a senior professor of small business and entrepreneurship in the Kansas City business, so I'm very, very sensitive to small business issues and talk that particular subject.
Do you have any conflict with breakfast or morning or lunch or afternoon or evening meetings?
No, I don't have any conflict. That's one of the advantages of being a professor. I do have every semester certain requirements of showing up in class. But other than those 9 hours per week obligation, which I know ahead of time, I'm very, very flexible and can manage basically any time. And if I have enough notice, I can certainly arrange someone to cover class. So it's, you know, I certainly don't have an 8-to-5 job. I work 40 hours a week, 45 hours a week, because I do a lot of research, and a lot of that is done in my office.
So more than
that,
you
could
make
Oh, absolutely, yeah. In fact, this semester, 2 of my classes are night classes. So I only teach from 12:30 to 2 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that would be my block out time for this particular semester. But again, with enough notice, I wouldn't have any problem.
Tim was the financial and budget commissioner. Nothing means that the person selected would be that, but if you were asked to be the fulfillment, would you know? What's your ability to do that?
When it comes to budget, in fact, I teach our doctorate course in education on public sector budgeting. So I work extensively with budgets. I'm qualified in court. I do a lot of testifying in court in North Carolina. I'm qualified maybe 20 times as an expert in budgeting and financial issues.
So, good, Chuck. Chuck, have a question. The one that I have left is, what do you see as the biggest challenge facing the town?
I think the vision issue, I'm going to talk about kind of in a broad sense in terms of the challenge. We have a lot of things going on. We have obviously the park, the financing of the park. It's not quite decided from what I understand in terms of exactly the elements that go into the park. There's in the past there's been a debate about the bicycle paths. There's landscaping issues. One of my most important issues, and I understand that there are some severe barriers in place, and that's getting down these power lines. I think in terms of trying to make Pure Beach as attractive as possible for the existing residents, to attract residents into the area, to attract people into the area to patronize our business. I mean, we have to focus on, to some extent, on making this as attractive as possible. And we've looked at that, and it's really tough, but I would say the overall vision and trying to understand and implement that vision for half of Pure Beach.
Good morning. I want to thank all four people we've had. It's wonderful to have people stand up on volunteer for this. It's great. And the resumes and qualifications are fantastic, and this is going to make our task very difficult tonight. So thank you all for applying for this position.
You're reading my notes?
No.
Mine's in red. Thank you. Ms. Emily Swearingen?
Yes, sir. I'm Emily Swearingen, 830 Cutter Court. I'd be glad to answer any questions, or would you just like for me to...
If you'd like to give us a synopsis first of, for the rest of the folks here, we've got your application in front of us, and if you'd just like to give us a short summary of why you're here.
Okay. I have wanted to be on the town council, I'd say, for the last 8 or 9 years. I have worked in government for the majority of my life. I have a master's in public administration from North Carolina State University. And frankly, I enjoy working with government. I guess you could say I'm a professional bureaucrat, which is not a negative term. I've learned over the years that you can accomplish a lot more from working inside the system than from outside. And I think one of the greatest things you can do to give back to your community is to be a civil servant. And I have followed your town meetings, your workshops, your public hearings. In fact, I think I was the only person who came to most of your budget meetings for many years. Simply because I enjoy watching the interaction between you guys, your department heads, what's going on here, and it's like an educational experience also, keeping informed on what's happening in our town.
Thank you.
Jim, would you like to start?
Sure. Again, be short. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing the town?
I like the professor's idea of having a vision for Cure Beach for the future, but I think our biggest challenge is paying for our vision. We have a wonderful concept for a park down there on the beach. It is not going to be cheap. I would love to see some things done in our central business district. Along with having worked in government many, many years, I also spent several years owning my own business, working with long-term care facilities in five states, doing consulting and training. So I know a little bit about what it's like to have to run a small business. And we have some of the best dining establishments in the county, if not southeastern North Carolina. We have the greatest pier, as far as I'm concerned, on the east coast of the state. And tourists enjoy these things. I'd like to see tourists continue to come here. So I'd like to see something done with our central business district. And of course, I don't think anybody would disagree. Doing the underground for the utility poles would be great. That is a huge financial challenge for us. I don't know how much you guys have looked into the Main Street project, the small town Main Street project. It does offer several opportunities for the future, but you have to join it. It costs you up front to be part of that process. A couple of weeks ago, we had a huge challenge with a little bit of rain we have down here. We have some stormwater sewer plans on the books and have for several years. It's been about 6 years since we did phase one. And in your budget sessions a year ago, I asked about where that project was and said that, you know, certainly hoped we were moving ahead on that, and apparently we aren't. As a result, we've got those sinkholes all over our area of the town, which maybe wouldn't have been there if we had moved ahead with phase two and three. And certainly now it's going to cost a considerable amount of money to fix those things, money that we could have put into putting in either new storm sewer system or repairing the old one that's there. I would really like to see us move ahead on phase two and three. That's not going to be cheap. We're talking about our disc golf thing. Again, we want to do in recreation things for our local people that are tourists. They're not going to be cheap. And to answer one of your questions that you brought up earlier, no, I am not in favor of raising taxes, but not to the detriment of the town. There are other places we could and should be looking for money to do some of these things. I know we've gotten the Clean Water Management Trust Fund money on some of what we're doing down here with the dumping water into the ocean. Those funds are also available for regular storm sewer. So, you know, I'd like to see us really investigate some of our other resources besides just using local tax dollars. But, yeah, I think our biggest challenge is paying for the things we need to keep our town viable.
Should we answer the question about why she wants it to be here?
What is your greatest asset? Bring
I think my greatest asset is all the years I've worked with government, local government and state government and federal government projects. My first stint in government back in the early 70s was with the city of Winston-Salem and their Model Cities program, which is now called Communities Development, where I worked on their economic development project. And then later with the city of Wilmington, the city of Hendersonville, the town of Hendersonville, which in fact is a lot like Cure Beach. At that time, only about 6,000 people, no town manager, and a full-time mayor. hired a town manager that didn't work out and went back to full-time mayor form of government. So I'm familiar with working with local government, again, through the city of Wilmington. And I'm familiar with working in state government with the legislature, because I did monitor legislation for about 4 years in state government. So I had my degree in public administration and teaching over at the university. I think I've got a lot of governmental experience to bring to the table.
Do you have any problems with conflicts of time, breakfast mornings, afternoon meetings, night meetings?
No. I am kind of semi-retired. I am working with nonprofits for the university in other counties all the way to Fayetteville. I have 6 that I'm working with right now. But those times are not set in stone. They're very, very flexible, so no time constraints at all.
If you were asked to have ability to fill the Finance and Budget Committee,
again, I guess I have to go all the way back to the beginning with the town of Henderson bill, where I was a department head and had to do my own line item budgets every year, present them to the town, monitoring. Was also monitoring, I remember correctly, about $8 million in federal funds that I managed to get the city off of HUD's blacklist because of, I won't say misappropriation, some mis-expenditures, some bad contracts, and that was where I got my start. When I worked with the Division of Facility Services in state government, being assistant section chief, I supervised 19 people and had to do the line item budget for that section each year and monitor it and change it whenever the legislature wanted cuts. And then, of course, with the city of Wilmington, I was monitoring $8 million in federal funds from HUD, with 15 outside agencies and 8 in-house projects, and helped our department head do the line item budget for our particular division and monitored it during the year and changed it whenever the city council wanted it, but also presented the federal budgets to them every year, monitored the budgets of all the outside agencies, and worked with our finance department almost daily because of the large figures involved and the regulations involved.
I see your resume that you have a publication on environmental problems.
Yes, sir.
What can you bring about that?
That was when I was doing my research assistantship at NC State and did a survey of leaders throughout North Carolina. In fact, had a 67, I'll never forget this because it was so unusual, had a 67% return, that answer participation from leaders throughout the state in the survey that I conducted. And it came out then, even though this was years ago, that water, the number one environmental issue in this state. And now with our droughts off and on, pollution, flooding, I'd say water continues to be, if not the highest, one of the highest environmental issues.
You're involved with the Olympic, Special Olympics?
Yes,
now,
sir.
Are you involved with them now?
Have we lost the Special Olympics?
Yes, sir. I'm on the advisory committee for New Hanover County Special Olympics, which means I'm one of their volunteers for helping to coordinate the polar plunge that I know all of you enjoy plunging in every year and will again this year on February 20th, I believe. And then the volunteer coordinator in the spring. We usually have about 250 volunteers that come out for our track and field in April and work with about 400 to 600 special teams.
That's just on the side that I'll talk to you about that on the city council.
Yes,
one of
we can always
how much involved you were with it at the time.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mary Adrian?
Yes, a couple of things. You did kind of touch on the tax issues.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the more important thing that I have, what do you feel that your prior experience with Hell and city government lend to pursuing grant acquisitions for our town and keeping our taxes manageable?
I hesitate here because I promised myself I would not do grant writing again, but starting with my stint in state government under the Energy Division, which was then in Military and Veterans Affairs, I wrote the state's first energy conservation plan that we received $11 million for. That was my first big grant application. We were one of only three states in the country that turned ours in on time. I am a stickler for deadlines. I've been in Hendersonville, of course. Community development basically is a grant system. If you're an entitlement city, you're entitled to funds, but you have to write that grant application every year. And in fact, I brought mine with you if you would like to see it. It's only about 100 pages long. But, I had to do what they call, is a plan on how you spend your money is basically a grant application for both Hendersonville and the city of Wilmington. Did a lot of, as a consultant, a lot of grant writing when I was in the mountains. Secured grants for the YMCA to do solar energy back in those days. I never had a grant rejected until about 3 years ago on a lead-based paint. Okay. And now working with nonprofits, well, in fact, going back when I was with the city and working with the Keynote Equality Initiative for nonprofit organizations, that's the group at the university I work with. I was the city's liaison with them when I was with the city and taught part of their grant application seminar that they did for nonprofits each year and help the city write some of its grants. So I could go on and on and on, but you guys look like you're about ready to go to sleep. So.
Oh, yeah. Not yet. Alan's into that. It's not at all.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else, gentlemen? Thank you, Amber. Mr. Bagley?
Well, I don't have an extensive background in BS or anything in political science and all that. I have been to Chapel Hill, being certified as a municipal county administrator. I've worked for municipalities for over 20 years. I'm working for the town of Nevada right now, as far as writing grants. I'm over there with you guys can write a grant for anything and get it problem solver. They actually know I'm here tonight and actually told me that they would help me and share their grant writing skills with me to share with the town of Cherry Beach, as long as I brought back to them the things that I learned from Cherry Beach to help to make their town run a little bit better too. So I don't have a problem attending breakfast meetings or lunch meetings or anything like that. I have written budgets for about 20 years. Matter of fact, when I was hired at the town of Vassar May 24th, I had 5 weeks to write their budgets for the Southern Department. I had those budgets written and passed and approved by July 1st. I used to work for the town of Carolina Beach, so I'm familiar with the budget process with the sewer plant. We were 22% interested in that. I've written that budget for the thing. I'm familiar with the aquifer system, the PD, the black, and so forth. I've I've been on a number of beach renourishment programs here on the island. Worked closely with Mike McIntyre on a couple of them. I've been to Washington, D.C. to represent the town of Carolina Beach for beach renourishment extensions and so forth and all that. I did learn one important thing there when I was there, that when we went back the second time, we didn't meet with the senators from North Carolina. We met with senators from Colorado and so forth. There's all the senators from North Carolina are for beach renourishment. I did fine. So, you know, I tried to get support from these interstates, whether the citizens would come to the beach. And right now, go ahead and ask me another question.
Barry, you start this time?
Same question I'm going to ask everyone. What is your position with regards to tax increases?
No tax increases.
Why are you asking for this appointment to the council?
Well, to be honest with you, Chuck, I've worked for municipalities for 20 years, and I know how each and every division runs and department runs, and I think I can share that knowledge sitting on that side of the table this time.
You think this side is better than that?
I don't know. This side's been pretty rough, too, over the years.
Why did you leave Carolina Beach?
I left Carolina Beach because I went on to pursue I opened a couple of restaurants. I went on to run and manage those full time.
And did this research?
Yes.
And so I think you just said what your assets were.
Yes.
And you talked about budget. Have you answered my questions?
If I have to fill that position, I can't fill that position. Your turn, Jim.
I'm down to only one. And because of all your years at Carolina Beach and all your years of living in Carolina Beach, what do you see as the biggest challenge that we face?
Well, the biggest challenge is, one, make sure that we don't raise taxes. Two, is to make sure that we maintain our existing infrastructure without raising user fees and looking for creative ways to finding new resources for those. And hope that we can make the town of Carolina Beach, you know, adding the park at the beach and so forth, be creative, looking for ways to get that financed without making a burden on the citizens of Carolina Beach.
I've seen you a lot, and I've seen you in a tie.
Using the baseball hat and cigar.
Gentlemen, any other questions for Steve?
No, I'm fine.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
David, you ready? Yes, sir.
Pretty late.
As long as it's bad, go last. Of course, it feels bad sometimes. I'd rather get up here and start talking. So, I'm David Hagler. Hopefully, you all know me. I've lived in the town my whole life. In fact, I was fortunate enough to grow up here, and I want to make sure that the town stays the great place it was when I was a kid for my kids and grandkids. So that's why I'm interested in serving on the council again. I've been very fortunate from all the experiences growing up to address council as a 15-year-old, asking for a basketball park long ago, and kind of come to council meetings with my grandfather and with my dad to see the things that council does and how it impacts the town. I think it's very important that people that have the capability, the skill set, give back to the community. So I feel very strongly about that. I've been involved first as a lifeguard, then as a fireman, then on council for 4 years. In fact, I lost my first race, which was a good experience, and then got put on my second time through. Then September 11th happened. I realized that I couldn't run again because being in the Navy Reserve, I felt there was a high probability that I'd get recalled, which actually did happen in 2007, so I'm glad I didn't get back on council. I didn't want to take the responsibility and not be able to fulfill it. Now I'm kind of past that time. I think I've been promoted to where they're not going to recall me again. It's too much hassle for the active duty guys. So this opportunity is a chance to get back in and give back to the community that's given so much to me, so that's what I'm interested in. And, offering myself as one of the candidates for the opening on council. break them apart and make them simple enough to share with the public so they can understand the issues that the council is dealing with. I think one of the things I'm most proud of for my 4 years is the budget process that we used when I was on council. It was very open. It showed the citizens exactly where the money was coming from, where the money was going. We put in, here's why we're saving money for the hurricanes, which definitely paid us well when the hurricanes actually hit. We did a good job of getting money back from FEMA, reimbursement, and I think that's kind of the skill that will help anyone on council. So.
You don't have any conflicts with time?
Well, your question about days, if with enough advance I can. I do not want to meet every day, every Monday, because I do work 9 to 5, or actually it's more like 7:30 to 5. No one works 9 to 5 anymore. But for special meetings, for whatever the council puts me in charge of, I'll meet those requirements. When I was on before, I specifically asked for the finance role for two reasons. One, you can do finance kind of at nights and weekends and through email, so that can be done while you're not physically there. And two, I was working on my MBA at the time, and it gave me a great opportunity to take those training and apply it directly to the town's needs. So many of my projects for my MBA were for Cary Beach, the water sewer revitalization, looking at how we charge for trash. All those were projects that I used for my MBA. That's one of the reasons I like the synergy of that. So no, I'm not as open as the other three candidates to day-to-day meetings. If it's the council's will that we meet every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, that would be an issue for me. If on the other hand it was, hey, we've got someone coming from the state and we need you there, that I can work around. But it can't be a every week type thing, yes, sir.
Any other questions?
Well. I'm not sure that I quite understood what your actual position is on tax increases.
Okay, excellent question. So the other candidate said no way and ever. Obviously, I can't take that position since I raised taxes without the finance commissioner, and I wouldn't take it anyway. I think my position is that the town citizens should get value for what they pay. The facts are that there are times when it's appropriate to raise taxes. The town should seek as all other funding as possible, but in the end, the town council's job is to provide the citizens the services they want. Sometimes that requires the citizens to pay for them. Nothing comes for free. I think there are things that, as I've looked over what the councils have done since I got off, I disagree with some of the spending. I think if you looked at my record when I was on council, I don't believe in just spending money to spend money. But when the citizens want a certain amount of value, whether it's the top police department in the county, whether it's to support their fire department so they can improve their ratings and get their fire insurance dropped because the ratings went up, whether it's to fix the infrastructure along the old part of town for sewer, I think you have to look at that, and sometimes you do have to stand up as a council and say, this is the right thing to do for the town. If everyone on council believes that you will never raise taxes again, then I'm surprised, and I'd be sad if that was true. I think that it takes the council to sometimes stand in the tide of that. On the other hand, the council shouldn't be just throwing money willy-nilly around. I think it's the job of the council to determine the will of the people, to determine what the people want as a level of service, and then to fund that appropriately. You can't just always cut. Right, so I was very disappointed in the council not giving raises to our employees 2 years ago in their budget, just because most of our employees can't afford to live in the town, and there were other things in that budget that I was surprised to see in there. So, my position is that every budget year is different. You have to look at it. The statute requires us to have a balanced budget. You can't always take the money out of savings because we are a beach community. The state only requires us to have 7% funding for our general fund, but that's not a realistic amount of money to have on hand for a town that lives on the beach. When I was on council, I set thresholds for that, and we maintain that. I'm the last commissioner that actually advocated raising taxes in the town when I was fact, the first time I did, the council didn't approve it. The second time was when it actually passed, after I made the position clear both to the public and to the council. I think you have to look at what the funding situation of the town is, and then make that reasonable. And people aren't always going to pay our bills for it, right? No one pays our individual bills. So, no, I'm not dead set against it. I think you have to look at what the financial situation of the town is.
What about the financial situation of the town's citizens, when a lot of them are on fixed incomes and they did not get a tax or raise in their Social Security last year, and they're not going to get another one this year?
Yes, sir. I'm definitely sensitive to that. My grandparents live right behind me. I talk to them a lot about that. And, you know, people have left the town, which saddened me, because of the increase in property value. The issue for me is the property value drive up doesn't change the town's responsibility to provide services. I think on council, you may or may not remember, but I actually sent out information about the Homestead Act to all our citizens when I was on, because I am very sensitive to that. And it's something you have to always balance. The fact is that if you look at our actual taxes that Curie Beach collects from their citizens, it's the lowest in the county. And that's because, even with our property values, that's because we've done a lot of things to afraid of that. Our volunteer fire department built the fire department, right? Helped build the police department, helped build part of this town. So I think that we do get great value, and I think we need to continue doing that, leveraging what the citizens will volunteer, what we do get from our volunteer groups and our employees. But you can't just say no. You have to look at that issue. But I'm very sensitive to it. Yes, sir.
Anything else, Barry?
No, I just... my own.
He answered my standard question.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, and thank council. You have four great applicants.
Thank you.
Going back to what all the applicants have said, and the ones that are sitting up here at Curie Beach have been very fortunate to have four candidates to step forward of this caliber. And this is going to be a hard decision, I'm sure, for everybody up here, because I think everybody up here knows everybody that's applied. And with that being said, I'll open the floor for a discussion or for a motion.
This is even tougher than I thought it would be when I read the resume, because I do know everybody here is a winning senator. And this is one of the, except for having to make a decision, this is one of the great things about Curie Beach, is that we can reach out and grab a handful of people. And in that handful of people, you're going to find some things that you never thought that you had as far as assets. And that so many people are willing to come forward. Because everybody who wants this job knows what kind of job that it is, and that it's not a bed of roses, and they're volunteering in one way or another already for the community. So it's, do you want to start this?
Mr. Mayor.
Start the bleeding.
Yes.
Can a taxpayer make a statement?
Not unless he's a slumlord.
I'm just wondering.
Go on, sir.
Do I need to introduce myself?
If you, I think she's got an elbow right now, Jerry.
Okay.
Thanks.
You do or don't?
No, she's
okay. I think if we passed over, if I were on council and I passed over David Hegler, he knows a lot of finances. He, his family has been on this beach forever. He's probably one of the smartest people we got in Curie Beach. He knows how our town runs, how the government runs, it's served on. My second choice would be, bang out the glass, and Steve would be my second choice if I won council. some of you probably wonder why I say David Hegler, because He probably cost me about $2 million up in Gulf College. And I'll tell you how he done it. Whenever Biddy did not notify me, I went through something for a year and a half, and Biddy did not notify me, and I think it was his first year going on. And he brought up, I think it was the first meeting, the Gold Cottage, my project up there came up to be voted on, and Biddy did not notify us to be here. And David said, we wasn't here, therefore he couldn't vote for it, and I don't blame him a bit, don't hold him against it, because that's the way things work. If we'd have been notified, we'd have been safe. And I don't think probably David and the fire chief likes me all that well, because I'm a foreigner. I come in security meets and bought up a lot of property. If they had come to go with me, I'd probably feel the same way. But now Daddy Hegler is from up in our country, and there's no better people than the Heglers. They have looked after this town, fire chief, David, all of them are concerned about Curie Beach. And it's like Mike Robinson told me, and Mike and Tom Humphrey, whatever we've done in this town would be pretty good for Curie Beach. Told us that 5 years ago. He's probably told us that 100 times since. And that's what I feel about the Heglers. Whatever they do for Curie Beach is for the best. And he's a good financial man and good person. And I think he made a great mistake if they told him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to address council?
All right, gentlemen. What's your pleasure?
How do you want to work?
Make a motion.
Who do you want to appoint?
Well, I'm the one supposed to lead the pack, so you're three guys, there you go.
All right, well, I'll start it up and we'll see what happens. Before I make the motion, I'd like to explain why.
I thought you were going to ask for a recess, go ahead.
There, like I said earlier, and I wasn't just blowing smoke, there's not a bad, really a bad decision that we can make. Everybody brings a bunch of different things to the table, and everybody brings some of the things that are the same to the table. And in a way that makes it tougher, but in a way it also makes it easier. I'm going to make a motion in a second to appoint David. And one of the main reasons that I'm going to do that is not because of anything negative by any of the other three. It's because their resumes are so powerful, and that I have seen the work that each of them done, that I basically going like I'm going to any voting booth and vote. You go with what you know the most of. I've seen David work in council. I've seen David do the finance work. We've all seen his devotion to the town, along with the others that are here. So it's pretty much overwhelming right now as far as what I know that I'm going to get if we end up with David up here. It doesn't mean that any of the others aren't going to end up as good as David would be, but I'm going with what I know I can expect out of him right now. So I'll make a motion to appoint David Hegler to fill the unexpired term until the next election.
Gentlemen, there's a motion on the floor. Do I have a second? Do I have a second?
Moving right along.
Motion dies for lack of a second. Do I have a second motion?
I would like to make a motion.
to nominate Emily Swearinger. I feel her background in government would be a great asset to us. I feel that having her on our board and having a female on our board would be a great asset to the town. I feel that our financial problems and dilemmas pretty much taken care of with our new financial manager, Mark. So I don't really see that as any sort of a problem. So therefore, I would like to nominate Emily Swearinger.
Motion on the floor is to nominate Emily Swearinger to fill the position. Do I have a second?
I want a second because I came on this board to represent the people. And what I do is go out and talk to people from the past couple of weeks. And they have told me to vote for Eric Emily Swearinger. That decision is very, very tough decision.
I must say that same has occurred to me.
There's a motion on the floor. We have a second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I think it's really important that we be unanimous in this.
One more.
Yes.
Are you trying, is this approaching from a final vote, or are you asking if there are any other nominations?
That was the deadline for the candidates that we have submitted to us, and the deadline was last week.
No. You don't follow me. What I'm saying to you is, you've only had two people nominated. Are there any other nominations? You've got four people that are up.
Well, I'm sorry.
You have a motion and a second, and then you have the three votes. You can't go any farther.
Do what?
You have a motion, we have four votes, second, and then three votes. How can you go to the next one unless you can't
no,
stop it?
No, you don't have to vote. You've had a motion and a second. Are there any other nominations? Who's the next one?
You don't vote.
Then you're going to vote.
I think all three of us, or at least three.
No, I think Andy is correct, and we need to go down the list.
You don't vote after a second. But
another point of order, though, the motion was to appoint by the time. Well, the first motion was to appoint, the second motion was to nominate.
Well, then I would like to make a motion to appoint Emily Swearinger.
Let's do this right.
I'm sorry, talking my technicality.
We have a motion and a second to appoint Emily Swearinger to fill the vacant council position.
Who seconded it?
Sorry. Do we have any other motions? Any other nominees? All in favor of Emily Swearinger being appointed to serve out this term, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Ms. Swearinger, if you'll step forward, you're getting ready to be sworn in or sworn at.
Thank you.
You're in charge of Barrett.
And also, you're my buffer between myself and Dean.
Lost all your friends.
Anything else come for this council tonight?
Yes. Just one more time, I'd like to thank the others that came forward, and there's a regular election coming up. We need all the good candidates that we can find. It should be this tough every single time. That way we have a pick that is going to benefit the community as a whole.
Judge?
I second that.
I think that we have got some candidates, so I hope we'll step up to the plate during the next election. And we appreciate everybody coming tonight.
Thank you all so very much.
I have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Hey, sir. Very good.